According to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, Kentucky's overall cancer rate ranks the third highest in the country, behind only Louisiana and the District of Columbia. For 3 days next week, public TV stations across the nation, including Kentucky Educational Television, will air the latest Ken Burns documentary, Cancer, the Emperor of All Maladies, produced by award-winning documentarian Barrick Goodman.
It's an exciting, really elevating and inspiring story. And the people I met and who the viewers will meet are some of the most inspiring, intelligent, interesting people you could ever meet on television.
On this week's Eastern Standard, Cancer in Kentucky. Email us, WEKU Eastern Standard at gmail.com. Send a tweet at WEKU EST or post on the WEKU Facebook page. In a little while, we'll open the phones as well. It's time for Eastern Standard, right after news from NPR. From the studios of WEKU on the campus of Eastern Kentucky University, it's time for Eastern Standard. I'm John Hingsbergen. According to Kentucky One Health, lung cancer kills more Kentuckians every year than the next eight most common cancers combined. Trillions of dollars have been invested around the world in the effort of treating and curing cancer. Yet in the next 2 years, cancer will kill more people in the U.S. than have died in every American war combined. How far has the past 100 years of cancer research brought us? How close are we to curing the emperor of all maladies? What causes such high rates of cancer in Kentucky? With us today are guests who will attempt to answer these questions. First up, we have Dr. Craig Humbaugh, MD, MPH. Dr. Humbaugh is Deputy Public Health Commissioner for the Kentucky Department of Public Health and the Director of the Division of Epidemiology and Health Planning. Thank you, Dr. Humbaugh, for being with us.
Good to be with you today.
And welcome back. You've been here before with us. Dr. Donald Miller is on the line, and Dr. Miller is director of the James Brown Cancer Center. He's an MD and PhD at the University of Louisville. Dr. Miller, thank you for being on the line with us today.
Good to join you.
Write to us by email during the program with your questions, your comments, your personal stories, WEKU Eastern Standard at gmail.com. Post a comment on the WEKU Facebook page or send us a tweet at WEKU EST. Let's begin our program by hearing from Ken Burns as he explains his reason for taking on this project. This is from a video trailer, which, by the way, you can find at a link at the post for today's show at WEKU.FM.
Our film project, The Emperor of All Maladies, is about as close to the bone as filmmaking gets for me. Cancer has been a huge part of my life. There is never a moment in my awareness as a human being that I didn't know that something was desperately wrong with my mother. She died when I was 11, almost 12 years old. The reason why I do what I do comes from this illness and this death and watching it happen.
One of my patients asked me a very simple question: what is it that I'm fighting? I was drawn, sort of obsessively drawn to this question because I thought to myself, well, here's something that is going to intersect with all of our lives, yet we know very little about it. So I decided to take the journey way back into the past and way forward into the future to try to understand, where are we today with cancer? What happens next?
That's the voice of Dr. Siddhartha Mukherjee, author of the book on which the series Cancer, the Emperor of All Maladies is based. Now, the producer of this amazing public TV series, Barrick Goodman. I spoke with him just yesterday about the background and reasons for this project.
Well, the proximate reason was that we had this amazing book, The Emperor of All Maladies by Siddhartha Mukherjee, which has won the Pulitzer Prize. And is a, if you haven't seen it, it's an epic story, a kind of sweeping story of the most intriguing medical detective story in human history, one that we've only recently begun to solve. So that story and that template was hugely important. And the other reason we decided, and I can speak for Ken on this, that we decided to tackle this, was that it's an incredibly important moment in the history of cancer. We've completed a revolution, and that revolution is in the understanding of the disease.
What about the production leads you to believe that millions of PBS viewers are going to watch 6 hours of about cancer, which is clearly, you know, not a topic that many of us go out of our way to hear about?
Right, it's a high hurdle, but on the other hand, there's not a single PBS viewer who hasn't been touched by this disease, and I think that makes the subject somewhat unique. I mean, sure, I think there are a certain number of people who will, you know, pull away from it because of just the very word still has such a terrifying air and connotation. I think once we get people to turn it on, they won't want to turn it off. But, you know, we're well aware that there's a certain number of people who just don't want to go anywhere near this disease. And frankly, one of the reasons we're doing the film is to try to demystify the disease a little bit, to take some of that terror away from it, because, you know, it really isn't what it once was, nor is it one thing. It's many things. And I think, you know, when people understand that, it won't be quite the same fearsome, menacing monster that some people feel it is.
What else do you hope the production will accomplish in terms of beyond the, you know, reducing that terror about cancer?
This is, as I said before, the most exciting moment in cancer research maybe ever. And yet, at the same time, there's a terrible squeeze in federal funding for basic cancer research. You know, for 30 years since the war on cancer was declared, there was a bipartisan consensus that basic cancer research should be fully funded. It was that important, that it transcended, you know, partisan politics or ideology. That has changed in the last 5 years, and in real terms, the budget for the NCI and for, you know, basic research has fallen about 20%. If we can get people to understand that this is precisely the time when basic research in cancer could yield unbelievable dividends.
What did you learn, and what were some experiences that touched you in the process of learning about cancer and gathering all this footage and meeting these people?
The most kind of surprising thing for me was to learn about really what science is. And really what I discovered was that, of course, when you think about it, it's obvious. It's a very human endeavor. It's full of failure and intuition and, you know, guesswork. It's not a linear progression, but it kind of zigzags up and down. And that was, you know, the humanness, the fascination of how these people work and what they do, all of that was an incredible surprise. The other part, you know, just meeting these extraordinary people, not only scientists, doctors, nurses, but these patients who opened up their lives to our cameras for, you know, over a year. We followed them through the worst parts of their lives and some of the best parts when they were, you know, saved.
What were some of the challenges you faced? I'm sure there were some obstacles or some difficulties that you had to overcome.
I think it's the flip side of the same thing. I mean, I think that being close to people, not all the outcomes were good. I mean, we lost, the world lost a young boy that we were following. His family was devastated. It was unexpected. His doctors were devastated. That was an emotional, you know, a really wrenching emotional experience for us. Obviously nothing like it was for his parents, but nevertheless it was difficult. And you know, there were several people along the way who passed, including people on our own team. Our narrator, Edward Herman, the wonderful actor, passed away from a brain tumor only weeks after he finished recording with us. He let it be known the first day of recording that he had this condition, and we decided to go forward with him anyway. And we lost him shortly after it was finished. So that you know, those kinds of sad experiences really marred the production. But that's what cancer is. It's a devastating, unpredictable enemy, and it can strike all of us. It does strike all of us. So we weren't immune from that.
How has cancer been evident in your own life, if you don't mind my asking?
No, I don't mind at all. I lost both grandmothers to cancer, and what's interesting is that I was maybe in my early 20s when my maternal grandmother died, and I didn't know why she died. All I was told was that, you know, she was suddenly taken ill and died, and even my own parents couldn't utter the word cancer. It had such a stigma. This is only less than 30 years ago. There was such a kind of charge to that word that it wasn't considered okay to talk about it in an educated family like mine. So, you know, that just goes to show you how recently it is that people just didn't discuss this disease. And I think that has changed a lot, and I hope our film will change it even more, that it's not something we can't talk about or shouldn't talk about. It's the opposite. We should confront it head on.
To what extent does the background of Ken Burns, his own situation and his loss of his mother at a very young age, how did that affect this project?
Ken says that the reason he did this project was because he lost his mother when he was 11 years old. He'd grown up watching her decline. The reason he does what he does, the reason he delves into the past and, as he calls it, wakes the dead, has a lot to do with, or everything to do with, the loss of his mother. So I think that, you know, Ken was initially, you know, not interested in this project. He was interested, but he just couldn't take it on. He had too many other things to do. And what changed his mind was just the fact that this disease had been so instrumental in making him who he is, that he really felt he had an obligation and a duty almost to become the executive producer of the project.
You said this project took 2.5 years of your life from that process of working on this documentary, Cancer, the Emperor of All Maladies. What does that experience say to you about the future and the possibility of finding cures for the various forms of cancer?
I, like everyone we spoke to, am enormously optimistic about the future. It's nothing that, of course, I know on my own. This is coming from the world's greatest experts. But there's an almost unanimous feeling that we've turned a corner. Now, there are a lot of caveats here. We've heard this before in the history of cancer research. There have been other moments in that history where we've declared victory prematurely and only to find that the disease is far more wily and complex than we had thought. But the difference here is that there's a foundation of understanding and knowledge about the disease that's never existed before, thanks to the revolution in technology that allows us to sequence, you know, the genes in our body. That has allowed us to understand exactly what's wrong in every type of cancer, and therefore we can target it much more precisely with much greater effect and much less toxicity. And there is nobody we spoke to, maybe with the exception of one or two people out of 100, who didn't feel that this was, that we're on the brink of major changes in our relationship to cancer. Whether that takes 20 years or 50 years or 70 years, there's very little doubt that the disease will become much more manageable than it is today.
That's Barrett Goodman. He is the producer of Cancer, the Emperor of All Maladies. It will be on public TV, 6 hours, a Ken Burns production. Barrett Goodman working with Ken Burns on this project. And it will be on the air on KET across Kentucky and, of course, on other public television stations across the nation, I believe, on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday of next week. How has your life been touched by cancer? We're going to hear your questions, your comments, your personal stories during today's Eastern Standard, and we're going to talk with a couple of experts about cancer in Kentucky and about the future of cancer treatment, prevention, related issues during today's program. You're welcome to email us, wekueasternstandard@gmail.com. Go ahead and pick up the phone right now. In a few minutes, we will be able to get listeners on the air with our guests, Dr. Donald Miller and Dr. Craig Humbaugh. 800-621-8890 is our number. That's 800-621-8890. The email, wekueasternstandard@gmail.com. Our Twitter handle is @WEKUEST. We encourage you to follow that anyway, to follow on topics and issues that we're covering here on Eastern Standard. And when you do that, you can send us a direct message. And, of course, feel free to post on the WEKU Facebook page. This program will be online after the broadcast, but you can interact during and after the program. It's Eastern Standard on the WEKU stations. It's Eastern Standard on the WEKU stations. Cancer in Kentucky. We're discussing it today because of the PBS special that will be airing on KET next week, Cancer, the Emperor of All Maladies. I'm John Hingsbergen, and with me in the studio is Dr. Craig Humbaugh of the Kentucky Department of Public Health. On the line, Dr. Donald Miller of the James Brown Cancer Center at the University of Louisville. And Dr. Humbaugh, we've invited you to be here to talk about cancer in Kentucky, the statistics. Where do we stand in Kentucky? At the very, very beginning of the program, I mentioned that Kentucky ranks third in the nation in terms of the number of cancer cases, and I guess but it's specifically cancer deaths. Fill us in terms of where we fit in the picture of the states.
Well, you're right, John. We do have very high rates of cancer and cancer deaths here in Kentucky. We're always in the top five in terms of our relationship to other states, and that unfortunately contributes to our overall poor health status. This last year, we were ranked 47th among 50 states. Kentucky was, in terms of our health outcomes. And of course, as we talked about, these health outcomes have large human and financial costs. We talked about that in terms of the cancer. And our health, our poor health status has a direct link to many of the other challenges that we face in Kentucky as well.
So what kind of cancers mm-hmm. are evident across mm-hmm. Kentucky? Mm-hmm.
Well, lung cancer is very high, and it's the most common cancer that we see. It, along all cancers, and we're going to probably discuss this, but cancers, we talk about cancer, but in fact, there are many types of different cancers. Lung cancer is one of those, but all cancers together and cardiovascular disease are our number one killers in Kentucky. Cardiovascular disease means diseases of the heart and diseases of the blood vessels. Those are the two top killers, and they vie each other for the top ranking. And in fact, in recent years, at least among female Kentuckians, all cancers, death by all cancers is winning over, has eclipsed cardiovascular disease as the number one killer of females in Kentucky.
And the connection between cardiovascular mm-hmm. disease and mm-hmm. the lung mm-hmm. cancer mm-hmm. would be cigarette smoking, I assume?
And there are certain factors that are contributing to both of those. And you're exactly right. Smoking or tobacco use is one of those.
Our program is Eastern Standard, and we're going to invite listeners to be part of our conversation as we talk with Dr. Craig Humbaugh and Dr. Donald Miller about cancer in Kentucky. That phone number, again, 800-621-8890. Our email address, wekueasternstandard@gmail.com. We would be interested in your story. Barrett Goodman, producer of the PBS special Cancer of All Maladies, mentions that everyone, and I think we could probably bear that out, that everyone's life has been touched by cancer. We're interested in how cancer has touched your life and, of course, any specific questions you may have. 800-621-8890. Let me turn to Dr. Donald Miller of the James Brown Cancer Center at the University of Louisville. Kentucky has a number of facilities that are focused specifically on cancer. Dr. Miller, tell us what is the primary focus of your efforts over there in Louisville.
Well, you know, I think first of all, this is a marvelous book, and I would strongly encourage anyone who has interest or has had personal experience with cancer to get a copy of this book and just read it. It reads like a novel, and it's just a beautiful summary of the field and gives the excitement of what's going on. We're fortunate to have two excellent cancer centers in this state at the University of Kentucky and at the University of Louisville, and I think both places are very interested in the kinds of research that make a difference for our patients, and clearly we've come so incredibly far in terms of having better treatments, but we still have a ways to go, and people are still dying of cancer. So you know, I think we're focused on developing new treatments that make a difference, and also in ways to do early diagnosis in a way that more of our patients can be cured. The good news is that since 1990, the cancer death rate has gone down by 1.5% or so a year. So we are going down in terms of our number of people who are dying of cancer, but in Kentucky that's happened, unfortunately, slower than in the rest of the country.
Dr. Miller, talk about the types of cancers that you are seeing and the types of research that you all are doing at the James Brown Cancer Center.
Well, you know, I'm a medical oncologist, and I've spent my career taking care of patients with with malignant melanoma, and that has traditionally been a disease that's been very difficult to treat. We haven't had good treatments, but I'm very happy to say that in the last 5 years, the treatment for that tumor has gotten so incredibly much better, and now it has really become a chronic disease more than an acute disease, and we're seeing changes across the board in having more effective targeted treatments, better immunotherapies, and almost all of that is a result of the revolution of molecular biology that's happened over the last 40 years and our understanding of how cells work and how cancers work.
Actually, I should point out, and we can discuss this, that in the documentary Cancer, the Emperor of All Maladies, a fascinating presentation of the history of cancer research, and from very early speculation about the causes of cancer to what is being done today with some efforts, I guess, treatments that target specific cells that may cause specific types of cancer. Dr. Miller, working in that specific area, how can you describe for us what has been accomplished in these last number of years in terms of research? I mean, I'm of an age where I remember hearing, oh, someday there will be a cure for cancer. And, of course, now we don't seem to be expecting a cure for cancer. We have specific treatments and cures for specific types of cancer. Can you help us sort that out, Dr. Miller?
Well, you know, I think what has happened, and this really began in the 50s with discovering that DNA had two strands and a better understanding of how it worked, and then understanding how genes worked and how cancer genes worked. All of that has led us to an understanding of how what causes cancer cells to go awry, and that in turn led to an understanding of new targets for therapies, and we're able now to find small molecules that inhibit these proteins that have gone awry. There's a very, very small difference between cancer cells that can ultimately kill us and our own normal cells, and understanding that difference has allowed us to develop treatments that are very effective, and we have a particular interest in screening small molecules, and so our lab can take a specific target and over a week and a half period of time screen 40 million different drugs to see which ones might have the opportunity to inhibit that enzyme. And that would have been unthinkable when I came out of my training in the 60s. So it's just an incredible time. The new treatments are very effective. They're not without their own toxicities, but clearly our ability to develop new treatments that are more effective and less toxic is better than it's ever been. And this really is a product of the war on cancer.
I mean, Dr. Miller, and I think one of the things the documentary, the PBS documentary, points out is that the war on cancer has not exactly ended or created the victory that some would have hoped. Apparently, all the presidents in the last, five, six, seven decades of the U.S. history, I think starting with Kennedy, have in some fashion declared a war on cancer. All have made that a major goal in State of the Union addresses or maybe even in inaugural addresses. Why? Why have we not gotten to that cure for cancer that we had hoped we would get some 50 years ago?
Well, it's a very, very difficult problem, and you know, we've made, I think the last several decades have been the most exciting period, not only in cancer biology, but in all of medical science, and we've come so far, but it's a very difficult question, and it's been a tough nut to crack, but I think with the new treatments that are now available, we're just on the cusp of being able to cure a variety of cancers, not as cancers as much as being able to understand the genetic makeup of the tumors and treat them as a genetic disease and cure the gene.
Is there such a thing as a cure? Or are we talking, and I always hear this language of remission, when that no one is ever cured from cancer?
Well, we certainly are seeing more and more people in our clinics who have unexpectedly good responses to treatment, and certainly we believe that some of those people will be cured. I think it's too early to know whether these are going to be permanent responses, but we're seeing more and more people who have long-term responses to therapy who in the past would have died relatively quickly of their disease.
Before we turn to our listeners and questions and stories that they may have for us, I want to turn back to Dr. Craig Humbaugh. And I know you're not an oncologist, not a specialist in the cancer as such. But Dr. Humbaugh, talk again about perspective regarding cancer. Are there some demographic issues? Are there some types of profession in which cancer is most prevalent in the Commonwealth of Kentucky?
Well, there are multiple factors that contribute to your risk for cancer. And first of all, age. The older you are, that means you're higher risk. Your genetic background, that genetics may contribute to cancer. Environmental factors and lifestyle choices all can contribute to cancer. And our goal in public health is to try to focus on the prevention and early detection of cancer to help people reduce their risks for cancer. Governor Beshear last year in 2014 set some goals, like a roadmap for a healthier Kentucky, and those are called Kentucky Health Now. And one of those goals is one of those seven goals is to reduce cancer death rates by 10% in Kentucky. And so we, as Dr. Miller said, are making some limited progress with that, but we certainly would like to see our rates dropping faster.
This is Eastern Standard. We are talking cancer, the emperor of all maladies, cancer in Kentucky. The PBS special, executive produced by Ken Burns, is on KET Monday through Wednesday of next week. You are welcome to participate in today's program by calling 800-621-8890 with your questions about cancer, your personal stories or observations about cancer and cancer treatment. That's 800-621-8890. Send us an email, wekueasternstandard@gmail.com. Send a tweet at WEKUEST. And let us go ahead and talk to Joyce from Somerset, Kentucky. Joyce, thank you so much for waiting, and go right ahead with your story.
Well, I'm from a family of 13, and we're 11 of us living for a long time, and almost all of us have been touched by cancer personally, and our mother had breast cancer, and we've had colon, melanoma. All the three major kinds of skin cancers, and we used to work on the farm, and our skin was terribly exposed to not only chemicals on the farm but also the sun, and my sister followed in mother's footsteps with breast cancer. I had a brother that was in the Vietnam War, and he was exposed to Agent Orange, and he's had throat cancer, a major surgery. In order to reach the surgery, in order to do the surgery, they had to remove all of his teeth because the fillings and stuff interfered with the the radiation
with the treatment, yeah.
Uh-huh. And then the so he not only had to, and it was just wham wham, one thing after another, and he had the prettiest, whitest, best teeth in the family.
Well, Joyce, it really sounds like your family has been hit very hard by cancer. Let me ask you, are there some success stories there? What can you tell us about how cancer has been treated and managed your family and among your loved ones. And there, you know, there are a number of things your story points out, environmental factors and the factor of Agent Orange and things of that nature. But has it been managed? And is the what has the family overcoming cancer because of today's modern medical technology?
Well, yes and no. Skin cancers still seem to be predominant, but of course they're visible and can be treated. The reports about the throat cancer and with my brother that was in Vietnam is he's gotten good reports on the surgery and the radiation and chemotherapy. So there's been a lot of success stories.
Mm-hmm.
Mother died of cancer. She lived 14 years after her mastectomy, and she developed cancer in multiple organs, including her liver, and after that in her bones, just a lot of places.
Well, Joyce, thank you so much for sharing your story of your family and how it has been touched by cancer. Pretty much really sets the tone for what we are talking about here on today's Eastern Standard. I'm going to ask our guests to react to some of what you have said here, because you've raised a number of issues that are going to be good for the rest of our conversation. Thank you so much to you, Joyce, and all the best to you. Thank you for calling.
You're welcome.
This is Eastern Standard, 800-621-8890. Send us an email, wekueasternstandard@gmail.com. And we have about a minute before we need to take a station break. But Drs. Humbaugh and Dr. Miller, I think Joyce's comments point out, as I mentioned, environmental factors, family working in the sun. That's one of the potential hazards for cancer. And Agent Orange. She didn't mention anything such as lung cancer, but I'm sure, again, that's a major factor in Kentucky. Dr. Miller, when we come back, I'm going to ask you to react to what you have heard there and a family being touched by cancer in so many different ways. And we invite our listeners to be part of our program as we discuss cancer in the Commonwealth of Kentucky, 800-621-8890. Send an email, wekueasternstandard@gmail.com. Do you have a specific question that we might send to Dr. Miller at the James Brown Cancer Center? And again, or a story that you would like to relate on today's program. We'll be back with more on Eastern Standard from the WEKU stations. This is Eastern Standard on the WEKU stations. I'm John Hingsbergen with Dr. Craig Humbaugh of the Kentucky Department of Public Health and Dr. Donald Miller of the James Brown Cancer Center at the University of Louisville. Cancer in Kentucky is our topic. There's a PBS special executive produced by Ken Burns airing next Monday through Wednesday, Cancer, the Emperor of All Maladies, based on, I guess it's a best-selling book by Dr. Siddhartha Mukherjee. Sounds like it's a fascinating read. I've seen part of the documentary. And if the book is anything at all like the TV series, it's going to be fascinating to read. Dr. Miller, our caller Joyce talked about, and we really appreciate her taking time to tell that story about how cancer has touched her family. How common is a story like this in your work?
You know, unfortunately, it's terribly common, and I thought she beautifully pictured the impact that it has on families. And so often we see people who just say, you know, I really want my life back. And it affects everybody in a family. And so it really has been a part of public health in Kentucky. And you have to come back to the thing that really drives our cancer rates more than anything else. And we have almost 50% more lung cancer than the national average, and that's driven by smoking. And clearly now we're at a point in time where people talk about that, and we're beginning to have laws that help deal with that, and that's such an important thing that's happening in the state.
Dr. Craig Humbaugh, from the point of view of public health, where does cancer fit in the efforts of the state in terms of the public health overall effort to ensure or improve health in the Commonwealth?
Well, first of all, I want to echo what Dr. Miller just said in that tobacco use and smoking is a primary driver of cancer rates in Kentucky. And the reason why we have such high rates is we also have high rates of tobacco use. That is another Kentucky Health Now goal, is to decrease tobacco use rates, smoking rates, by 10% by 2019. I want to put in a plug here for people who do want to quit. We have a quit line. It's 1-800-QUIT-NOW. So that would be an excellent – now is an excellent time to think about quitting if you use tobacco, and you can reduce your future risk of cancer.
800-621-8890 is our phone number. This is Eastern Standard. We are interested in your story. And also specific questions that you may have about cancer. Maybe there's a specific cancer in your family, in your own personal life, that you'd like to know about. I suspect that Dr. Miller might be able to address some of those issues as an oncologist and at the James Brown Cancer Center. Comments about public policy in Kentucky. The General Assembly failed to pass a statewide smoke-free law, I guess, would be the way the language was termed. What about your reactions to that effort? Is this the fourth time, Dr. Humbaugh, that has failed to pass the General Assembly?
It has come up for the last few years, but I will say that I think we're making progress with the General Assembly, and that historically this was the first time that the bill was passed by one of the chambers of the legislature and went to a second chamber. So that's certainly an historic move for us here in Kentucky.
800-621-8890, WEKU Eastern Standard, the email address. Please feel free to get in touch with us. Send a tweet at WEKUEST. That phone number again, 800-621-8890. Did I cut you off, Dr.?
I was going to comment that, and I agree absolutely completely with the importance of a statewide ban, but it's very, very important to note that many of the cities and communities in this state have gone ahead and done that independently so that almost half, I believe, of Kentucky is now smoke-free, and that's a huge step forward over the last decade.
And let's talk about, you know, the overall circumstance of cancer in the Commonwealth of Kentucky. The role about certain professions. I mean, for instance, coal mining is not the predominant or the profession that it once was across the Commonwealth of Kentucky. But Dr. Humbaugh, has that had an effect? The fact that people are working in this underground environment with apparently very dangerous effects.
Yeah, I'm not sure I can speak directly to that in terms of coal miners, but certainly environmental factors that may be associated with one's profession, chemicals, amount of sunlight, those types of factors that we could actually potentially influence could put people at higher risk for cancer.
Let's talk to Mark from Berea, who's called in to 800-621-8890. Mark, thank you for being part of our program. Go right ahead.
Yes, this is Mark from Berea, Kentucky.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I was wondering, I'm just surprised I've never been on a TV show or a radio show before. I was wondering why there's never much discussion over all the chemicals and additives that are in tobacco, if tobacco is responsible for the majority of cancers. This has always surprised me that there's not a drive to get some of these corporations to take like 500 different additives and chemicals out of some of these products. I mean, because my impression is that tobacco may or may not be healthy, but it's certainly not healthy to have all this. I mean, from formaldehyde. I mean, I just can't even begin to count all the chemicals that are involved. And it took years to even get the tobacco companies to divulge what was in the tobacco. But all these products are just laden with chemicals, and why that's not part of the topic or of the discussion here.
Doctors,
I mean, not just on this radio station, but in general.
You raise an interesting question. Doctors, apparently there was some of that discussion in the 60s and 70s in the Surgeon General's report that, again, is featured in the documentary. But the move has been do away with cigarette smoking. Is there a way to redeem cigarette smoking, Dr. Miller?
Well, you know, there's been a lot of effort to quote, clean up cigarettes. And you know, but anytime you burn something, there are going to be a lot of things. And those efforts, quite frankly, have not been very successful to come up with a safer cigarette. And far and away, the best thing to do is just to stop. Hard as that is for some people.
Thank you,
yeah,
Mark.
I understand that. I do understand that, but it just seems like, you know, if we really want to get rid of the problem, or parts, even parts of it, if you could turn down the cancer, maybe even half by getting some of them chemicals, it just seems like that'd be worth looking into. I know corporations are big and bad and powerful, but they should be doing their part to clean up tobacco. I mean, there's no reason a person should be burning a bunch of chemicals along with their tobacco.
Mark, thank you. We appreciate your call. Thank you for being part of this week's Eastern Standard at WEKU. Robbie is on the line. We'll talk to her in just a quick moment, but I want to point out one of the things I noticed in the documentary, The Cancer of the Emperor of All Maladies, is there's a talk, okay, as cigarette smoking has been declined, and I think they said something about declining 50% since the 1960s, so has lung cancer incidence. And one of the next frontiers is mentioned is obesity as a cause of cancer. Dr. Miller, do you have some comments about the role of obesity and, you know, talk about chemicals and other factors of things that we're ingesting into our bodies? Is that becoming another frontier for cancer?
Well, clearly, as smoking has come down, and it's come down dramatically since the 60s, the smoking rates are down and lung cancer rates are coming down accordingly with that, we've started looking at other things. And obesity is one of the factors that clearly plays a role in quite a number of tumors, and that's now being studied, and we're getting more sophisticated information about exactly how that works and potential treatments for that relationship. So I think that we will, over the next few years, be hearing quite a bit more about obesity as a cause of cancer and ways to get around that. And obviously in Kentucky that's an issue that affects us as well as this tobacco use.
Let's go to the phone and talk to Robbie from Lexington. She's called 800-621-8890, and I believe there's a line open if you'd like to be part of our program. Robbie, thank you for calling. Go right ahead. You're on the air.
Sure. Hi. You know, I listened to The Emperor of Maladies on a book on tape when I was driving to sit with my uncle for a second chemotherapy treatment.
Robbie? Did we, Robbie, drop out?
No, I'm here.
Okay, yes, go ahead. Huh, don't, for some reason, we're not hearing you, Robbie. Well, I'd be interested in what you have to say about the, having listened to the book, Emperor of All Maladies, on tape. I hope it's not our phone system that has dropped out. There was a major failure of one of the cell phone companies yesterday. but let's continue as we discuss cancer in the Commonwealth on the WEKU's Eastern Standard, 800-621-8890. Dr. Miller, you're at the James Brown Cancer Center at the University of Louisville. We have the Markey Center in at the University of Kentucky in Lexington. Do your cancer centers focus on different aspects of cancer treatment? What is being accomplished at these centers in Kentucky?
You know, I think both of our centers have a firm focus on lung cancer since it's such a prominent cancer in our state, and the state has very wisely invested part of the tobacco settlement funds in a program for lung cancer research. So that's an area that both cancer centers are emphasizing. I think looking at our center, we have a particular emphasis on cancer prevention, making preventative vaccines for cervical cancer and other kinds of tumors. And I think the other area that we have special expertise in is the development of novel treatments that can make a difference, that will be less toxic and more effective.
What would be example of some of those novel treatments, some things that we may not know about? Maybe we'll learn about them in the TV documentary, but what are some things that are really, really exciting to you, Dr. Miller, in terms of the future of cancer treatment?
Well, one of the things that we're doing is we have a group of people who are interested in cancer metabolism, and it's been known for several hundred years that cancer cells are addicted to glucose, and so we now have a medicine that actually can prevent cancer cells from using glucose once they take it in, and that treatment, which is in an early phase clinical trial, is looking very promising, and we're excited that will make a difference. The other thing that's happening that's just really revolutionizing how we treat cancer, both here and around the world, is that immunotherapy, as we've understood how the immune system works much better than we have in the past, immunotherapy is really becoming a new approach that is more effective and that I think has the promise of actually curing a large number of people as we get more sophisticated with it.
Okay, Robbie did call back. Let's see if we can communicate with her in a little more clear manner now. Robbie, are you there?
Yeah, I'm there. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, go right ahead.
Great. So I was saying that I listened to The Emperor of Melodies on a road trip out to Albuquerque, New Mexico, to sit with my uncle, who was dying of cancer at the time, and going through his actual chemotherapy treatment. And the reason I bring that up is because he had gone through about a year of attempting to find as many treatment options as possible, and learning through that process how different and difficult the access points to different kinds of therapy were based on place, proximity, and money. And so I'm curious, you know, as you talk about things like individual choice around cigarettes or around obesity, which privatizes the problem to the way somebody lives, is how do we address public policy and the politics of access to therapies that are beyond the sort of old treatments, radiation and chemo, which are still very valuable, but as we move to immunotherapies or even using things like measles and HIV to potentially kill cancers in the body. So I'd love to hear how we deal in a place like Kentucky, especially with access and equal access to treatment therapy.
Okay, and we'll ask Dr. Craig Humbaugh, the Department of Public Health, to react to that.
Well, thanks. Let me just address that in a very broad manner. And what I would say is, and again, this is another goal for us, a governor's goal for us in public health is to increase access to health care in general. And we have been doing that through utilizing provisions of the Affordable Care Act. So Medicaid has been expanded in Kentucky, and also qualified health plans under the Affordable Care Act are more available than ever for folks. In fact, according to a recent Gallup poll, we've dropped our number of uninsured in Kentucky from about 20% to now less than 10% as of February 2015. So I think increased access to health care in general will allow people to have more access to, and we haven't talked about this, but not only treatments, but also preventive care and cancer screening.
We're just about finished with our program. We're running out of time here. I want to acknowledge the fact that Johnny from Pikeville called in. We're not going to be able to get you on the air, Johnny, but he had a question about dietary guidelines and possible carcinogens in food. The state has made an effort regarding smoking cessation. Is the state involved in dietary guidelines that will help perhaps reduce cancer from bad diet and obesity?
Well, we do have a food code, and we try to adhere to that food code. But in terms of actually reducing specific additives at the state level, I would say that's not an emphasis that we've had in the past.
And also we had a call from Vester from Berea, who is a minister and has cancer himself. He's noticed the increase in cancer deaths over the years as he presides over funerals. Vester, thank you so much for your call to today's program. In the minute or so we have remaining, let me turn back to Dr. Donald Miller for a brief closing comments. What most excites you in your work
I think we should mention that this state has really had the foresight to establish the Kentucky Cancer Program, which is a state-funded program for cancer education. It's a marvelous source of information, and you can call a toll-free number and get all the information on cancer that you want, and they're very, very helpful. I think the most important thing is this is a terribly exciting time for those of us who deal with cancer every day, and it's been a long time coming, but I think we're just getting a taste of what the future holds.
Dr. Craig Humbaugh?
Well, I'd like to finish by putting in a couple plugs for programs that occur mainly at our local health departments. Colon Cancer Screening Program provides fecal immunochemical testing. That's testing for occult blood or blood that you may not see with the naked eye. And it does that for low-income Kentuckians. And also our Kentucky Women's Cancer Screening Program that provides mammograms and pap tests for women who may not be able to afford those in all of our 120 counties.
We'll try to add some links and some information about some of these resources available to our website at weku.fm. Thank you so much, Dr. Craig Humbaugh of the Kentucky Department of Public Health. Thank you, Dr. Donald Miller of the James Brown Cancer Center at the University of Louisville. We remind you the PBS special, Cancer, the Emperor of All Maladies, is on KET Monday through Wednesday of next week. Thank you to Tom Martin of KET for helping to put together today's show and actually suggesting it. Thanks to our associate producers, Logan Riley and Richard Turner. Logan produced today's show. Julie Tennell's been on the phones. Brian Bartlett is our technical director. I'm John Hingsbergen. Thanks for tuning in to Eastern Standard on WEKU.